This year marks the 20th anniversary of the implementation of the Amber Alert program for missing children in Wisconsin. But in recent years, discussions have arisen about whether the criteria for the alerts might be too restrictive. We'll talk to an administrator for the National Amber Alert program about how effective the alerts are and what those criteria involve. But first, a Wisconsin senator is with us to talk about the possibility of changing the requirements for issuing an Amber Alert or introducing a new type of missing child alert. You can join in at 800-642-1234. When you see an Amber Alert or a Silver Alert pop up on your phone or your TV, does it work for you? What's your reaction? Does it influence you to keep an eye out? Have you ever called in with a tip, or have you opted out of those alerts? Let us know at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@wpr.org. State Senator LaTanya Johnson has represented the 6th Senate District in Milwaukee since 2017. Before that, she served in the State Assembly. Senator Johnson, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
Before we get into the why, I'm curious about the what. As I understand it, this is not a proposal in a bill form yet, but what kind of ideas are you exploring when it comes to missing child alerts?
Well, what we're thinking about exploring is extending the Silver Alert. Right now, we have a Silver Alert for missing senior citizens, and we want to add a children's portion to that. It would be easier for us to add a system and use already existing infrastructure than it would be to create something totally new. And what we're thinking about is to provide services for children under the age of 17, children with mental illness, intellectual disabilities, a child with any type of disability that might prevent them from returning home safely, but also for children under 10 who we know aren't basically self-sufficient on their own, and it becomes critical to find those missing children.
And what has you thinking about these changes right now?
Well, Prince McCree, the 5-year-old that was found deceased, lived 5 houses from me. So I had the opportunity to be with the family when they were searching for Prince. The major frustration for this family was having him not qualify for an Amber Alert. I know that the Milwaukee Police Department tried on 2 different occasions to get an Amber Alert issued, and he didn't meet the criteria. And the reason he didn't meet the criteria was because they didn't have a suspect, either a description of a suspect or a suspect's vehicle, because the Amber Alert is for abducted children. Now, in the city of Milwaukee, we do have a critical missing child alert, but that only goes out to broadcast, TV and radio. We had neighbors on our block who found out that Prince was found deceased before they even knew that he was missing.
Now, the criminal complaint from the Milwaukee Police Department states that officers came to the home after Prince's mother called 911. They did discover blood and other signs of a murder. And this is a really heartbreaking case, but evidence points to the fact that Prince was killed in the home and his body was moved before his mother woke up and realized he was missing. And in that instance, an Amber Alert wouldn't have necessarily helped save his life. Do you still look to that as a reason to pursue changes?
Yes, because the reality is that there are going to be other children who come up missing. And so just seeing the frustration from Prince's family. Now, if Milwaukee Police Department requested an Amber Alert twice, they had been in that house. They saw the blood. They knew how urgent it was to find this child. And for them to request an Amber Alert and then to know that the child was either severely hurt or in imminent danger, and they still couldn't get one issued, it shows that the Amber Alert doesn't work for every child and every situation. So what we want to do, we want to bridge that gap between abducted children and children who are missing. And the reality is that very seldomly do people get to witness an abduction or even have a suspect available. We need to find something that will allow them to search for missing children in general. The Silver Alert does a 5-mile notification on people's cell phone. It pings. We need the cell phone notification because the reality is not everybody's around a television or a radio. Some people are at work. I live down the street from a firefighter who came home on the day that Prince was found deceased. He didn't even know that Prince was missing because he was at work. And so we want to make sure that everybody, especially in the case of a missing child, especially in the case of a missing 5-year-old, has that opportunity to return home safely. And right now, the Amber Alert doesn't qualify for every child.
Talking to State Senator LaTanya Johnson about changes she'd like to see to missing child alerts in Wisconsin. And Senator Johnson, are there other areas, other states that do something similar to what you're proposing, kind of adding on to the Silver Alert system?
Yes, Indiana is one of the states has a modification to the Silver Alert. And we also have, I believe, Delaware. They also have modifications as well to the Silver Alert. So we have models to follow in other states. The thing that we have to do now is work with the Department of Justice, basically to make sure that when we do create this system, that we create it as much as possible, working as closely as possible with the Department of Justice, because we want it to work for them too, as well as work for the missing child. But I think to just say, you know, we have systems in place and no other system is needed, that's not true. That's not correct. Because if a 5-year-old didn't qualify for an alert system that would have alerted everybody, his neighbors, then who would? I'm really proud of my community. We had neighbors who put that, you know, Prince was missing on Ring and on Nextdoor. We had other members who put it, you know, on Facebook. But the reality is it still did not touch the magnitude of people that it needed to touch. And for the next child that goes missing, we want to bring them home safely.
Now, there are a lot more children that are reported as missing then do get Amber Alerts in a given year. And I know that Milwaukee, you know, has a lot of those. Prince's case aside, are there other cases that you've seen in your city that kind of like point to the need for this?
Well, not necessarily in the city, but the Lily Peterson case. An Amber Alert was requested for her too, and one wasn't issued because she did not meet the criteria. Since 2003, Wisconsin has seen 57 Amber Alerts from 2003 to May 2023. That shows you how few Amber Alerts get issued. And that's a problem because clearly we have hundreds upon hundreds of kids that go missing in this state. And so it just shows that the bar is too high. And we have a gap that a lot of children fall through the cracks.
And what is the timeline you're looking at in terms of getting some legislation drafted and circulating it for support?
We are hoping to have everything drafted by the middle or the end of December. We are working on this legislation with lightning speed. Like I said, I do want the cooperation of the Department of Justice, but the reality is that we are going to introduce this legislation anyway, because as a legislature, standing there by Prince's family, seeing and hearing the police actually make those requests and be denied was unacceptable. It was unacceptable for Prince's family, and it'll be unacceptable for any other parent who has to go through that.
Well, Senator Johnson, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you.
State Senator LaTanya Johnson represents Wisconsin's 6th Senate District in Milwaukee. She was with us to talk about changes she's proposing to Wisconsin's missing child alert system. Coming up next, a national Amber Alert expert talks with us about how effective the alerts are and the reasoning behind the criteria for issuing alert. And we want to hear from you at 800-642-1234. Do you think we should loosen the requirements for issuing some kind of alert for a missing child? Should we have a new type of alert, something built onto existing systems? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time on the Ideas Network. I'm Dean Kinetter. Right now, we're picking up our talk about the Amber Alert System, potential changes, and how it works in Wisconsin and around the country. We're taking your calls, too, at 800-642-1234. Janelle Rasmussen joins us now, the National Amber Alert Program Administrator at the National Criminal Justice Training Center at Fox Valley Technical College. Janelle, welcome to Central Time.
Thank you for having me.
So I'm curious to find out a bit more about how the system works. Someone notices their child is missing. They report it to local police. Where does that information go from there? Who decides whether an Amber Alert is going to be issued?
Sure. Well, the programs work a little bit differently in each of the states. So at the national level, we provide a recommended criteria and procedures for state to use. It's a federally recommended criteria. And from there, each of the states establish their own Amber Alert programs and put together criteria that is relevant to the work that they're doing in their individual states, the resources that they have available, and the types of cases that they have. The recommended criteria that we have is that a missing person is a child and that they're under the age of 18, that the police have reason to believe that the child has been abducted, that they have information to put out to the public that may be the child's information or it could be the suspect or vehicle information. And then we must have reason to believe that the child is in serious danger. And that information is important for us to make this Amber Alert happen.
And what's the reasoning behind some of those requirements, particularly having information about the suspect and the suspect's vehicle? Why are those in there?
Absolutely. Well, we know that when a child is abducted, that time is of the essence. In most cases, when a child is harmed, it's done within the first 3 hours of being abducted. So we want that information to get out very quickly to the public, and we want the public's help in locating that abducted child. And so the more information that we have and that we're able to put out to the public, the more likely that we're going to be able to recover that child. For the vehicle information, it's important if we're going to utilize the road signs that we have information on a vehicle to put up there. It doesn't always have to be the case. In some states, they do not require vehicle information in order to issue an Amber Alert. And same with the suspect information. It varies from state, just some sort of information to put out on that child.
And the program is in its 20th year here in Wisconsin. What do we know about how effective Amber Alerts have been at locating missing children?
We know Amber Alert is very effective. To date, we've had 1,146 kids returned home just because an Amber Alert was issued, whether they were directly recovered because somebody saw that child, suspect, or vehicle and contacted law enforcement. They did so because an Amber Alert was issued and those kids are home or were recovered safely because of that alert. So it's very successful. But not just that, it's also a deterrent. We've had cases where a child has been abducted and that abductor is driving down the highway with that child in the car, gets an alert on their phone, sees it on the roadside, pulls over and drops off that child because they know that when an Amber Alert is issued, everybody is looking for that missing child.
And earlier we heard State Senator LaTanya Johnson talking about how she'd like to see some of the requirements for those alerts loosened up or having a missing child alert added onto our silver alert system. What do you think about those ideas of making it easier to issue an Amber Alert?
Yeah, I think that it's really important that Amber Alerts are reserved for cases that meet the criteria. We do not want to desensitize the system by sending out hundreds of alerts or sending them out too frequently when we have cases that don't meet that criteria. And a lot of people describe it as the car alarm syndrome, where you walk by and a car alarm is going off and you don't pay attention. We want people to know that when an Amber Alert is issued, this is exactly what we're looking for and we need your assistance. But it is critical that we have systems in place that are used for other types of cases. So if there is a child that is missing and we can't confirm it's been a child abduction, but we do know that that child is still missing and based on their age, they may be in danger, we want to have a system available for them. So we encourage states to have a secondary system called an endangered missing person alert, where they can send out alerts to the media and ask for their help help in broadcasting that information to look for that missing child, that missing adult, or somebody who may be missing and in need of medical attention. So we do encourage states to have a secondary system in place and send out that information, because any child who is missing is endangered.
We have time for one quick call. Mike is with us in Milwaukee. Hi, Mike.
Hi. I'm 69 years old, and I don't have any children. And I can see how the Amber Alert can be helpful. But I think when you really boil it down, I read articles after the fact in the newspaper how it's usually irresponsible parents. And I really think these people should pay for the Amber Alert system if it's been used.
Mike, thanks for the call. Sorry we don't have a lot of time. Janelle, again, these are alerts that are issued when the standard is pretty high in our last 30 seconds or so. Oh, Janelle, are you still with us?
Yes, I am. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. And just a reminder that the standards are pretty high for an Amber Alert being issued, correct?
Absolutely. The criteria is very strict, and we do, you know, encourage the states to establish their own criteria, because it needs to be what works best within the states. But we certainly create an opportunity for this criteria to go across the border. I think it's important to remember that when a child is abducted too, you can go from Wisconsin into Minnesota pretty quickly. And if there is a case like that, Wisconsin can reach out to their border states and they can request an Amber Alert in that border state. But the criteria has to be pretty similar, and it is across the state lines, so that you can make that request if an abducted child does travel into another state.
Well, Janelle, thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much for having me.
Janelle Rasmussen is the National Amber Alert Program Administrator at the National Criminal Justice Training Center at Fox Valley Technical College. She talked with us about how Amber Alerts work in Wisconsin and what options are out there for missing child cases that don't necessarily meet the Amber Alert criteria.